Isaiah chapter number 44. I'll do my best to be mindful of time. Brother Dixon wants us back in by 1:30, so I guess I'll have to cut it off about 1:15 or so. Give you time to take a restroom break. So, Isaiah chapter number 44. We'll begin reading in verse 1. If you'll stand, we'll reverence the reading of God's precious word. Good to see this good crowd on the morning meeting.
Yes, sir.
And I told Brother Matthew, you have somewhat, in preaching the introductory sermon, you have somewhat of a disadvantage in that you've got to go the whole year and prepare and think about. But also, you got an advantage. When I'm done this morning, I'm done. I can shout as loud as I want to. I can sing as hard as I want to. And you other preachers have got to reserve your little voice just in case you've got to preach. So I'm done this morning. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be a part of the meeting. I'm glad to be saved. If you're glad to be saved this morning, wave toward heaven. Amen. Isaiah 44, verse number 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. And thou, Jeshurun, who I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. You may be seated. Thank you for standing up. Now, the book of Isaiah many times is referred to as the Little Bible, in that it's got 66 chapters, just as the Word of God has 66 books.
Right.
Isaiah chapter number 1 talks about a garden, and in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, this thing began in a garden.
That's right.
The last chapter of Isaiah, chapter number 66, has reference to a heaven and a hell. And the last book in the Bible, Revelation, speaks about heaven and hell. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness." In the 40th book of the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 3, again, it says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness." I want to say this morning that God is a God of order. He's a God of order this morning. He's not mixed up, and He's not gone crazy. And even down through time, as the Word of God has changed languages, it has still maintained its holiness, and it's still maintained its order. And it's still the Word of God. It's still God's Word pinned down to you and I and preserved to our generation. Thank God. The book of the chapter that we're in this morning, chapter number 44, corresponds with the book of the Bible of Acts. And now the book of Acts was a sort of time when the church, when the New Testament church has come to life and has been breathed upon by the coming to life of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus' earthly ministry has ended, He has reascended to the Father in heaven, and now the Holy Ghost is come. And this chapter here that we're looking at in Isaiah that corresponds with that, we see pointings or allusions to things coming to life, or things beginning to be revived, so to speak. And we as Christians cannot be any more alive, and I do not believe in a second blessing of the Holy Ghost, but I do believe in revival. I do believe that in the day we live that we can personally have revival. We can experience a new moving of God's Spirit within us and can revive us. I want to look today at the first four verses of this great chapter in an expository manner and see what the Word of God has for us. Oh, we've come together this weekend to worship God and to enjoy some spirit. about being thirsty. Now you, 20 or so that come from Pine Ridge, I'm sorry, you just got to hear it again. But let's look in the Word of God here and find what we can about being thirsty. Verse number 1, we'll take it verse by verse. Verse number 1, I want you to notice a specific person. A specific person. Now, I'm the writer here, and God Himself is addressing Jacob. He is a specific person. Now, Jacob's name means trickster, or supplanter, or crook. And I want to say to you this morning that we were all crooks on our way to hell until the good God of heaven came our way and arrested our souls and saved us by His grace. Oh, we were crooks in a mess. No way out. Nothing we could do to help ourselves. Oh, we're in a fix. In trouble, Brother James. And didn't know which way to go or what to do. I didn't know which way was up. I couldn't help ourselves had we known. Had no ability of our own. Oh, but thank God for the day when the blessed Holy Ghost of God came by and arrested our souls. Amen. And we were changed by His marvelous grace. Amen. Crook and trickster. He tricked his father along with the help of his mother. Stole away Esau's blessing. Oh, that's a lesson today that we ought to take a look at. Mama was wicked and Mama was tricky and Mama was shady, and therefore the boy was tricky and shady. I want to say, don't fuss and cuss and kick your kids around and tell them just how evil they have become and just how bad they are. Because you can go and look in the mirror and see where they learned it from. See where they learned to be what they are and to be what they are going to become. It's all you. That is rabbit number 1. Jacob. Then notice, it's ironic here that not only does God call Jacob by his former name, He says, "O Jacob, my servant, and Israel." Now He's talking about the same person, Israel, whom I have chosen. Now the word Israel, or the name Israel, means prince with God. G. Campbell Morgan said it means prince or controlled by God. Jacob went from a man that was a crook to a man that was controlled by God Almighty. Oh, we see spiritual progression in his life, and we'll never get help from God until we see that spiritual progression in our own lives. Amen. Oh, it's interesting how the Holy Ghost points out both of his names, calls attention to what he was and what he is, a calling therefore among the words. He calls him a servant.
That's right.
Oh, he's called him Jacob, a trickster. And he's called him Israel, controlled by God. And right in the middle, almost pointing to the reason why he's gone from a crook to controlled by God, is the little word servant. Oh, the little word servant. And it's thought that this word comes from the Hebrew word Ebed, E-B-E-D, which means the lowest of all slaves. Oh, and it's demeaning in the day that we live in for some folks to be called slaves. It's very derogatory to a lot of people. Folks don't want to be referred to as having to be subject to anyone, much less being owned and controlled by another. Oh, but I want to remind you something about slavery. I want to call to your memory something about slavery. We only hear about the downside. We only hear about the negative. Oh, but might I remind you that the master of the slave is responsible for feeding that slave, for clothing that slave, for providing health care for that slave, and for providing lodging for that slave. Oh, mind, when you got a master as good as Jesus, all of a sudden it gets where it's not so bad of being a slave. Oh, he's provided for me when I didn't know what to do. He's made a way for me when I didn't know which way was out. He's given me a way, and he's opened up doors when it seemed like my face was to the wall and I didn't know what to do. That's his name. He's a good master. Hallelujah. When I wanted to throw my hands up and quit, when I wanted to give up, oh, I'm drunk as a skunk. When I wanted to throw in the towel and say, I don't have to take this, I don't have to go another step, I don't have to fight folks that don't agree with me, I don't have to go through the things that I do, oh, send the master, that good master, comes by and says, boy, you're still mine. You just keep doing what you're doing, and the master will see to it. Even though the doctors have said no hope, even though the bankers have said no hope, even though you've lost your home, the master says, you just keep going, boy. I'm a taking care of you. Oh, it's good to be a slave when you got a master like Jesus. That's a specific person in verse number one. Now, verse number two, I want you to notice the sovereign's performance. What does verse number two say? Let's read it together. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen. Oh, there are three words as I was studying and preparing this message. There's three words, Brother Dixon, that stuck out. Almost like the Holy Ghost had a spotlight on them. Those words are made, formed, and helped. First of all, He made us. The word literally means intense and detailed labor. God Almighty created, constructed, and assembled you and I. And no matter what scientists might have to offer, no matter what popular opinion might be, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He spoke everything into existence. And then on the sixth day, He took a wad of mud and began to work it with His hands and pat it out and turn it into what He wanted it to be. Drink offering on the altar of God still. still a worshiping God. What are you saying, preacher? What does all that mean? God's using familiar terms to meet Jacob's need. God is using familiar words, familiar terms. I'm reminded of the New Testament story of when the daughter was sick unto death, and the daddy went after God to get the Lord, and the servant comes and says, "Thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master?" And the Lord said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And they start back toward home. They start back. And what happens? The story's interrupted. The chapter's interrupted with the woman with the issue of blood. She presses through the cloud and touches the hem of his garment. And he said, "Somebody touched me." And eventually she confesses. And what does he say? "Daughter, thy sin be forgiven. Thou have been made whole." Jairus' need was his daughter. All of a sudden, this was not Jesus' daughter, but he said, "Daughter." And Jairus' ear no doubt perked up and said, "This man's in the daughter business, and I need some daughter help." Oh, my, Jacob here is in a dry and thirsty place, Brother Rob. And he's needing help. And God says, "I'll pour." Jacob's ears perked up. Says, "I remember pouring oil and worshiping God. I remember pouring water and worshiping God." Hey, thank God. He says, "I'm going to need a little of that pouring directed back in my direction." It wasn't some pouring. It wasn't some Jacob hadn't heard about. But it was the word pour.
Amen.
Supply of pants. There has to be some thirst for there to be some poor. Now, when I think about God pouring, when I think about God pouring the water upon the thirsty, we could talk about a thimble, or we could talk about a cup, but I don't believe God's a thimble God, and I don't believe He's a cup God. I believe He's a bucket God. I go, Brother Willis, down there to the creek and get down in the creek with a bucket and get my hog some water. I go back up to the hog pen and I pour that water over the fence and it splatters everywhere and gets on everything and it's more than they need. I think that's the kind of God that we serve this morning. A God that's not just give us a little foretaste. Not a God that's given us just enough, Brother Rob. But thank God, a God that's got a bucket full. And if we'll pan after His goodness and pan after His glory this morning, He's got a bucket that He'll pour all over us.
Forgive me. Forgive me.
Thank God for those times when I have been so dry and parched in my soul and felt like a dog in the heat of the summer with my tongue hung out and foam coming out of the corners of my mouth. Spiritually speaking, I'd gone as far as I could go. I could not make another step. I was broken within. I could not depend on myself. I could not, Brother Matthew, go another step. And I was just before God about to pass out, panting after Him. Oh, and I got good news for you. When it come time, when I was panting after the Lord, He come by with a bucket and dumped some water on my soul. He's never failed to do so. He will not fail. He will not go away. Thank God He's got buckets full that He can pour on the thirsty.
Hallelujah.
But the thought of the word used is thirsty. Got to get to the end of yourself, Brother Deason. Got to go just as far as you can go at the end of your rope and can't get any further. Realize
said, it's not of you. You cannot provide your need. You cannot make a way out. Then, God, after we have panicked, frozen. At about 16 minutes, one more verse to go. We might make it. Verse number one, we saw the specific person. Verse number two, we saw the sovereign's performance. Verse number three, we saw the supply of panting. Now in verse number four, I want you to notice some spiritual produce. Some spiritual produce. In the previous verse, we see God doing some watering by the Word and by the Spirit. And in verse number four, we'll see some result of that watering. Verse number four, it says, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as the willows by the watercourses. What does watering from the Spirit and from the Word of God do? It produces growth. Produces revival. Oh, I beg God to help me to set the tone for this meeting. And I feel like if we would get before God and beg Him for help, He'll send us some water. The specific term used here for spring up means to sprout forth, to bud, which by the way means to bring to new life, to grow, or even to bear fruit. And that sure sounds like someone who's been in the presence of God Almighty. Someone who has grown, who has budded, who has brought forth fruit. Notice the words here. As among the grass, as the willows by the watercourses. We're not compared to the grass, uniform and all the same, but as among the grass. No doubt, as maybe like a lily or some other fragrant flower. Then notice, as the willows by the watercourses, the location by the watercourses, by the rivers, to put it in 2008 English, as willows or as trees by the river. Oh, in the last verse, Jacob was panting and a thirsting and a needing God. Now then, all of a sudden, Brother Rob, He's taken him from that dry desert place and put him down on the bank of the river that flows forever. And there is no running out. Thank God, when he gets thirsty, all he's got to do is lean his head over it. But suck him up some water and get all that his heart desires. And it don't end with a bucket full. It don't end with a barrel full. Thank God, God's got a brook full for his youngins today. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that if we're not ashamed to get before God and seek Him, thank God, and pan before Him, that not only will He stop with throwing us a bucket, but He'll move out of location, out of that desert place, out of that dry and barren land, and put us there by the brook. Thank God. Why is that? Because God's a good God. Because God's a good God. He's been mighty good to me. Brother James Powers, He's been good to you. You got as godly a debt as anybody's ever had. Man, a son that's a man of God, that's as powerful a preacher as anybody's ever been. Thank God He's given you wives and children and grandchildren that know God and are saved. Sounds like to me a man's planted by the brooks and can lean over any time and suck him up a little water. Oh, Brother Dixon, God's been good to you. He's given you a beautiful wife that loves the Lord. Good kids and grandkids and great-grandkids that love the Lord and worship God. Oh, He's been good to you. Oh, thank God for them men that's down by the brook that no longer have to live in them dry and barren places. But thank God can be down there where there is an endless supply. Toby Powers, God's been good to you. Oh, He's been good to you. Give you one of the best churches in the world, good folks to love, and one of the best deacons God's ever called or God's ever laid His hand on. And a good folks that love God and love you. A good wife, good girls. That one day we'll know the Lord and we'll testify in His power. Oh, thank God. He's given you a good job, a good home. Thank God, a good education, a good mind. He's just that kind of God. Bless His name. I feel like running. God's a good God. He's good to us. He loves us. Oh, wave that hand, Sister Nancy. God's a good God all the time. We was over here, Brother Rob. Thank God, about to die first. And now He's got us over there. Planted on the brook. Planted on the water courses. Able to get all we want. Just to drink and drink and drink, Brother Harold, until our heart's content. Thank God, and then them same folks planted by the water courses, one day it's going to be transplanted and placed by the river of life. Thank God, a river that will never run dry. I don't know if I've been able to get this across like I'm seeing it. Oh, but I ain't got but one thing to say. God's a good God. Oh, thank God. In closing today, I want you to notice a recipe for revival. God's people are getting from those dry, barren places to those water courses by thirst. No, are you thirsty? Do you want a drink? You want to be a willow by the brook? Willows often symbolize grief and downheartedness, troubled times. Even today we've got a tree known as the weeping willow. Psalms 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. Oh, isn't it good to know, Sister Nancy, isn't it good to know in those times when our hearts are down, in those times when it feels like the world has turned its back on us and our hearts are hung low, that in those times God can provide us with a drink of water. The Word of God and the Spirit of God can reach us, can turn our situation around, and can make us what He wants us to be. Thank God. When we're down, He's up. When we're broke, He's rich. When we're sick, He's the healer. He's well. When we don't know what to do, He's got the answer. Aren't you glad that God's goodness is not dependent on us? Oh, Brother Rob, were His goodness toward us dependent on how good we've been toward Him? Oh, we'd be stuck over there in that desert place and never getting a drop. Oh, God's goodness does not, Brother Willis, depend on our ability. God's goodness and God's supply does not depend on our resources. God's supply doesn't depend on our results. Thank God. God's supply does not depend on us and what we've done and how good we've been. God's supply, Brother Willis, does not depend on how smart we are. God's goodness, Brother Harold, does not depend on how educated we are. Oh, thank God, God's goodness does not depend on how faithful we've been. Oh, but it depends on Him. It rests in heaven. And if we're willing, face before God, declaring our need, declaring our inability, realizing that we're nothing, and that He's everything. Are you thirsty? That's the message I'm hearing. Hallelujah.